The thing you need most from a news organization is reporting you can trust. Journalists dedicated to telling you the truth. I'm Desiree DiOrio, and thanks to your contributions to WSHU, we can continue to bring you reliable and trusted news coverage in the weeks and months to come. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is running for governor of New York. Governor Lamont in Connecticut touts a recently signed yet controversial housing bill. Plus, this season's familiar jingle has a single hometown in Connecticut. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is running for governor of New York. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports he's already facing strong criticism from the other contenders.
Blakeman won a second term decisively last month, despite a bad election night for Republicans nationwide. He says that makes him the best candidate to take on incumbent Governor Kathy Hochul.
4 years ago, we made promises. We said that we wouldn't be a sanctuary county. We said we would take the masks off the kids and stop oppressing our children. We said we wouldn't raise taxes.
Blakeman will face U.S. Representative Elise Stefanik in the Republican primary. She accused him of dividing the party and weakening their chances against Hochul. Both candidates are staunch allies of President Donald Trump, who on Monday said he liked both and wouldn't endorse either yet. The primary is in June. On the Democratic side, Hochul faces a primary challenge from Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont held a signing ceremony in Norwalk yesterday for a controversial housing bill that he'd officially signed into law just before Thanksgiving. WSHU's Ebon Udama has the details.
Lamont used the signing ceremony, which was held at a recently completed public housing development in Norwalk, to emphasize the state's need for more affordable housing.
I hear what all the naysayers are saying, but it's important. It's key to the future of our state. It gives young people the very best opportunity. And their grandparents, if they want a chance to downsize, they can do that as well. You're not serious about affordability unless you're serious about housing.
Republican lawmakers had opposed the bill, claiming it would override local zoning. But Lamont got bipartisan support from mayors and first selectmen for a revised version of the bill that the majority Democrats passed in a special legislative session last month. Ebon Udama, WSHU News.
The Freedom to Read Act is a bill that would ensure librarians across New York State can cultivate diverse, inclusive book collections as a way to fight censorship within schools. The New York Public News Network's Sejina Shrestha attended a read-in at the state capitol where education advocates are urging Governor Hochul to sign the bill as the end of the year approaches.
Okay, what do we want?
To end book banning in New York.
Advocates from the New York Library Association, Albany Public Library, and other education-based institutions stood in a hall demanding New York State Governor Kathy Hochul sign the Freedom to Read Act as they read excerpts from banned books such as To Kill a Mockingbird and The Bluest Eye. The act, which passed both chambers of the New York State Legislature in June, is awaiting Hochul's signature before implementation. According to the advocates, this act is a way to fight censorship that is playing out across the nation, including in some New York communities, by ensuring New York students can read about a wide variety of characters and issues. Amanda Babein, the executive director of Equality New York, says censorship is not an isolated issue.
You know, one of the things we've been talking about and one of our kind of slogans is this is not a red state issue. We've had censorship here in New York State. Often people think New York is very, very liberal. The city is often very liberal. But, you know, we've seen book bans on Long Island over the last few years. We've seen them up in the North Country. So they're happening. And so our worry is that young people will no longer have access to those books and literature.
For the New York Public News Network, I'm Sejina Shrestha.
As the holidays near, the nation fills with the sound of bells, all crafted in one small factory in our region. That story is ahead. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
I'm Davis Donovan. I had a 1992 Toyota Corolla. I got in a wreck on the LIE, smashed up the front of it, parked it on a suburban street in Queens. It got towed and impounded. I went to the impound lot, which was under the 59th Street Bridge, and they told me how much it would cost to get it out of the impound lot. And I said, can I just have a trash bag and go get all my stuff out of that? And that's the last time I saw that car. Any car can turn into your favorite programs here at WSHU. Go to WSHU.org.
New York's Department of Agriculture will implement new standards for animal shelters and rescues next week. Licensing will be mandatory, and shelters that house cats and dogs must meet care requirements. Facilities can expect regular inspections to help meet the updated rules. Fewer people are dying in car crashes in Connecticut, according to a national report on road safety. About half as many people have died on the road this year as in 2022, and the number has been dropping every year. The report credits stronger penalties for traffic charges and more red light cameras and speeding cameras. New York's head of the Office of Cannabis Management has resigned at the request of Governor Hochul. According to Newsday, the resignation came a day before an administrative trial of a firm. It allegedly ran a scheme that allowed unlicensed companies to sell cannabis products out of its warehouse. The case has since been dismissed. A Newsday report shows that the Plain Edge School District owes their former superintendent more than $900,000 after he abruptly resigned in September. WSHU's Christopher Schultz has more.
Edward Salina Jr. has been Plain Edge's superintendent since 2011. Newsday reports he suddenly resigned in September for unclear reasons. Now he will be granted more than $650,000 for a total of 471 unused sick and vacation days, plus nearly $250,000 in contracted base salary. Salina was set to be the district's superintendent until 2029. Christopher Schultz, WSHU News.
As the holidays approach, the sound of bells begin to fill the air, from sleigh bells to Salvation Army bells. All of those bells are made in America in one factory in East Hampton, Connecticut. WSHU's James Raskell reports.
As I walk into Bevan Bells, I'm greeted by a familiar sound.
This is our famous shopkeeper bell, and that hangs on a door, and I'm sure everybody's heard that sound when you walk into a retailer.
I met CC Bevan, the sixth generation of the family to run the company, the only bell manufacturer left in the United States. The founder, William Bevan, learned the art of bell making as an indentured servant in the 1800s. He and his three brothers started the company before the Civil War.
At one point in this town, there were 20 or 30 bell manufacturers in East Hampton. It's where the town of East Hampton got the name Belltown.
And Bevan Bells is the last one standing.
There's been a tremendous change in the industry over the years. When Bevan Bells first began in the early 1800s, people were traveling by sleigh and wagon, and bells were a critical safety device.
Now, Bevan makes everything from Salvation Army bells to school bells to cowbells, which have also changed over the years.
Cows don't wear cowbells anymore. They have electric fences to keep them in. You know, people didn't used to use cowbells to cheer at road races and ski races, and now they do. I'm sure everybody's familiar with the Saturday Night Live skit, you know, gotta have more cowbell.
On the factory floor, hydraulic presses form metal sheets into bells.
And it's changing the shape of the bell as it goes along. So in the beginning, you can see a squat bell, and then it gets a little bit longer as it's making the steel elongate.
The company's 25 employees do everything from operating the machines to stringing ribbons by hand.
These are not an automated process. There's not robots. These are human beings. So every bell is being handled individually multiple times throughout the process. This is very much still, you know, an art form and a craft that people are doing.
And these workers make a wide variety of bells.
That's a bell that Muhammad Ali used in most of his fights. That's the Good Humor ice cream truck bell. And it's just a beautiful sound, right?
But the most famous Bevan Bell is from the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
I think people really, you know, hearken back to the movie. And it was actually a Bevan Bell on the tree that rang in the movie. So when they say, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings, that was a Bevan Bell ringing on the tree.
The only thing they don't make is musical instruments. These bells serve a purpose. They're not what you'd hear in a handbell choir, for example. But that doesn't mean there's not a musicality to these bells. She's very conscious of the difference between brass and steel, for example.
Here's the brass bell, and here's a steel. It's a sharper sound. The brass is a little bit nicer sound.
The old Bevan Bell's factory down the road burned down in 2012. But they were able to get up again in time for the holidays, their busy season, with some help from their neighbors and the state of Connecticut.
So it was a very quick turnaround. I mean, it was May, and we're gearing up for Christmas, and the Salvation Army needs its bells, and, you know, everything is happening. So we had to get back in business very, very quickly in order to save Christmas.
Now, Bevan is fully rebuilt, and they're putting out new bells soon to celebrate the country's 250th birthday.
We're growing. We're seeing a lot of success. And so, you know, hopefully bells are here for another 200 years to come.
Odds are in their favor. Bells have been around for 5,000 years already. James Ruskell, WSHU News.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And if you like what we're doing here with this podcast, or you've been a longtime listener of WSHU, consider supporting the station today with a financial contribution, especially now with the abrupt end of federal funding. We are grateful for the generosity of listeners like you. Visit our website to learn more, or you can give us a call at 800-777-9748. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.